Diaz goes full with Stott. The 3-2 on the way. Swung on. Line down the right field line. It's fair. Just inside the line. The game's tied. Castellanos into third. Dusty is waving him home. Here's the relay to the plate. There'll be no throw. Phillies lead it as the birthday boy, Bryson Stott, puts the Phillies on top 5-4.
What a hit.
Heck of a birthday.
What a call. Heck of a birthday.
Would have been bad if we would have went another way. That'd have been pretty bad.
Well, it went out the right way, Hugh.
Yeah,
that's all that matters.
That's all that matters.
It is the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio. That at-bat by Bryson Stott, it reminded me, it hit shades of the at-bat he had against Strider in 2022 when he kept fouling off pitches and wore him out. Hugh, I thought watching that at-bat, the deeper the at-bat went, the more pitches, you could see Diaz was worn out because he had pitched the inning before and then he came back. He was going to get him. If Diaz made a mistake over the plate, I felt really strong. Stott was going to get him, and they hooked that ball down the right field line. That was one of my two favorite at-bats in the game. It's not even the home runs on those that are your favorite at-bats. I just love the way Stott worked that at-bat, Hugh. He grinded that at-bat.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where when you talked about this team and what they said they were going to do, that's how they were going to approach this series. And unfortunately, it didn't happen that way. So to see that, it just feels like, it makes me feel like they're locked in now.
Well, that was a locked in at bat. That was an incredible at bat by Stott. He hooked it down the line, 2-run score, and away we go. My second favorite at bat from the game actually is one that I think can be lost in the shuffle. And I don't think it should be. You know, often I only get really excited about Trey Turner when he does something that bothers me, like, you know, screw up in the field or swing and miss a lot or chase. I thought yesterday he showed a lot of growth in the ninth inning. Two outs, ninth inning. It was how'd that go? I think it was a Hayes strikeout, and then Schwarber popped it up. So there's two outs, ninth inning. It could have very easily been he strikes out, he rolls over on a grounder, we go to extra innings, we don't even talk about the at-bat. He worked an at-bat. Hugh, I went back and watched it this morning. It was six pitches, the at-bat. He swung at one. It was probably a ball. He swung at one in the strike zone. And he took four pitches outside, including two that I think he usually swings at. That walk by Turner in the ninth inning set the stage for Harper, set the stage for Castellanos. I thought that showed a lot of growth, Hugh, because Turner was one in the first game that was swinging at garbage.
Yeah. Yeah, and they all were for that matter, Joe. But it's one of those things where when you look at the weight of that moment, because I think at that point it was in the fifth. You're talking about in the fifth inning?
No, I'm talking about the ninth inning at-bat by Turner.
Oh, no, not like, but in the fifth when they only had a few at-bats left.
Oh, yeah.
When you knew that the game was kind of over, that's when it felt like they kind of settled down a little bit.
Yeah, well, the sixth inning is when the series changed, right? They were scoreless through five, and it felt awful. And then it changed to 6-215-592-9494. Let's hear Bryce Harper talking about, you know, the idea of it doesn't always have to be you. If you don't get the pitchers to hit, just, you know, move it to the next guy.
Nah, I mean, I just got to stay ready no matter what. You can't think teams aren't going to pitch here or anything like that. You got to stay ready. Take the balls when you can. Swing at the strikes and don't miss them. But understand that passing the baton is huge in the postseason. Understanding the guys behind you need to do their job too. And you saw it tonight with Casty. I mean, he did his job all night long. And same thing with Bryson. Had huge at bats. Cody Clemens too. I mean, so many good guys behind me to do their job and just understand you got to pass the baton.
So he was talking about himself there because he took the walk in the eighth inning, but he could have been talking about anybody. I thought of Trey Turner when I heard Stott saying that, Harper saying that, because he passed the baton and they got the job done. Let's go to the phone lines here. Bruce is up on WIP. Hey, Bruce.
All right. Good morning, gentlemen. Good morning. How's everybody doing?
How you doing today?
Hey, Bruce. What's up, buddy?
Hey, look, I got a funny story to tell you. Well, I'll tell you, I'm definitely confident about the team. But look, I was actually in Philly on Saturday, and me and my mom had a dinner at a live casino. So we were there when the fans were coming out. And I tell you, I was just so mad about that first game. And some of the guys, they came into the casino cussing and talking. Oh, my God, it was hilarious. It was a hot mess in live casino that night.
Oh, I was at the game, Bruce. It was a hot mess in my section. You got people saying, trade him, dump him, move on.
That's how it goes.
Yeah, people were in there. Everyone's in their feelings
everybody getting cut after that one.
Yes.
Yeah, and then on top of that, there was this one guy he had on a Mets union. He had his girlfriend, and he was just strolled up into the casino. And somebody said, get the F out of here. He said, what are you doing here? You're trash. We're going to get you tomorrow, you know. So it was crazy. It was crazy. So that was my thing on Saturday. But Sunday, I was so angry about the game, and I had to leave and actually come back down to D.C. because of some duty-related stuff. I didn't actually have a chance to see the game until like the eighth inning. And thank God that I did. I'm just glad I was not taken through all of that stress of the game, but I was able to catch the end of it when they brought it back home. But I think just going forward, I don't know what the hell is going on with these relievers. They got the yips, the pitching yips in the bullpen. They need to get that thing. They need to get it together. And the bats need to get started early, because when I actually went back and reviewed the game a little, the start of the game, and they're getting overly aggressive. They need to just calm down and let the pitchers pitch to them. It's not, you know, the swinging on the first pitch. They got to stop doing that. To start the offensive flow early, because our bats are, I don't know, you know, the bullpen, I don't know, they just seem to don't have it together, and they need to start hitting the ball better a little earlier. Starting pitching is fine. I'm confident in Nola, but we got to get the bats starting earlier in the game and the pitching relax, and hopefully that'll flow over into the bullpen. But I expect us to win at least one of the games in New York. We'll take it in five.
Well, Bruce, I think that's probably the anticipation for a lot of people right now, that this thing probably comes back for game five. Bruce, we appreciate it. He brought up the bullpen. They got to get it together out there. Like, the starting pitching's been good for two games. Yeah. Wheeler was great. I thought Sanchez was good. They got Nolan game three. The offense woke up. The bullpen, which was considered one of the strengths, like if you looked at the two teams, you would say it's our strength.
Over there.
Uh-huh. It has not been good the first two games.
Yeah, and that's the thing that kind of had everybody kind of scratching their head, because going into this series, we thought that with our bullpen being rested, that was where we had the edge at. And it was unfortunate that wasn't the case. I think that everybody settled down a little bit now. The thing that jumps out to me is that everybody knows the blueprint. But they just didn't go into the game and I guess do the game plan. They got away from the game plan. They went back to, I guess, what was comfortable for them. Instead of, with everything that they talked about, they didn't do their job. They basically were swinging at everything.
Yeah, they reverted back to the worst of themselves. I mean, I think that happens with players, right? You go back and forth between what you can do and what you try not to do. And that's, I mean, Castellanos does that all the time. Turner does it. But when it mattered the most, Castellanos was incredible yesterday.
Yeah, only thing that I would ask is that, you know, guys, let's not wait as long as we did to turn this thing around. Let's just kind of get it going a little bit earlier. Take away some of that anxiety that we're going to have.
For my sake, please.
Yeah, for our sakes, for all of our sakes. Just a little bit. That was a little bit of anxiety, man.
Yeah, well, it was. So far in this series, if my math is right, I think the Phillies bullpen has pitched six innings and allowed 10 runs. I mean, they've been brutal. I mean, let's just call it for what it is, right? Ruiz yesterday gave the home run. Strom has got hit. You know, Estevez was actually the best one so far. He was good
yesterday.
He was
the one that everybody was worried about. He was the tightrope walker.
I know. It's kind of bizarre that it's happened that way.
It is really, really bizarre.
Yeah, now look, it's only two games, and I still believe in these guys, but they need to be better. Let's go to Alex in Pottstown, who's up on WIP. Hey, Alex.
What's going on, fellas?
Alex, what do you think, buddy?
Listen, you can't be that upset because you get to win. Anytime in the playoffs, you can get a win and just get out of there, especially against a hot team like the Mets. You got to be happy. You just got to move on. My problem is Rob Thompson, the entire season, he's all about analytics of what hand this guy is, how he bats, how he pitches. He's sitting guys, like he's sitting left-handers when they're facing a lefty, he's sitting a righty when they're facing a righty. Then you want to bring in Matt Strom, a lefty, to face right-handed batters after he's already been getting shelled for the first game. How does that make any sense?
So here's my take on it. I don't see Strom as someone that's left. You can only get lefties out. I mean, he gets lefties and righties out. I don't look at him like a lefty guy. I just look at him as a good relief pitcher. So who did you want there, Hoffman?
I guess, but my problem is, like, again, like you said, Strom has been dealing all season. So, I mean, he had a bad game Saturday, and maybe you just want him to bounce back. But if you're going to be the whole analytics guy, be the analytics guy. Just be consistent with how you're going to manage the team.
So I get that. And, Alex, I think for the most part he should do that. Against the Mets, though, and, Alex, we appreciate the call. The Mets don't have many true left-handed hitters, Hugh. I think it's only Nimmo, right? Lindor's a switch hitter. They have right-handed hitters. So Strom's going to have to get right-handed hitters out. There's only I think they only have one. I mean, Winker didn't start yesterday.
Uh-huh.
Or, yeah, he started game one but didn't start game two yesterday, right, because they had Martinez. And I think they only have, in yesterday's lineup, one left-handed hitter. So if you're going to use Strom, he's going to have to get righties out. It can't just be lefties. They don't have lefties.
Yeah, that kind of makes sense when you put it in that direction. When you say it like that, it makes a lot of sense.
I mean, the bullpen guys got to get people out. I mean, like, they weren't good this weekend, and it's rare. So this season, actually, Matt Strom statistically was better against righties. He held righties to a 133 average, lefties 230. I mean, he's good against everybody. I'm not worried about Strom. I think he'll figure it out. But the bullpen this weekend was a disappointment. 215-592-9494. We'll hit all your phone calls on the other side. Your reaction to this weekend, the walk-off, the split, how are you feeling? Are you feeling good about this team as we head to New York 1-1? Plus, we have a special edition coming up here of the Big Hugh Breakdown. A few moments of yesterday's game that required some lip reading. What did Hugh see when he reviewed the tape? We're going to have that for you on the other side. I'm excited to see how you translate our guy Castellanos, because I think we all saw something similar there. And what the heck did Brandon Nimmo say to JT Realmuto as he crossed
the
plate?
That's the one I'm really excited to
see. Yeah, after the home run in the seventh inning. Hugh's breakdown. Usually it's about the Eagles and Bryce Huff not getting near the quarterback. Today it's different. Today it's about the Phillies on this Reaction Monday. 215-592-9494. That is how you hop aboard. It's the Midday Show as we talk all Phils on Sports Radio 94 WIP. And let's have my friends over at FanDuel cap off the NFL Week 5 slate with a chance for a big win on FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, America's number one sportsbook. New customers can bet $5 to get $300 in bonus bets if you win a bet on tonight's game. Let's go with the under Patrick Mahomes passing yards. I'll go an anytime touchdown score, Chris Olave, and I'll go with the cover for New Orleans. Visit FanDuel.com/GIGLIO to make every moment more of the season. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 94WIP. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL.
0-1. Breaking ball blasted. Game is tied. Castellanos way back to left center. Back to back for the Phillies. And it's a brand new game. 3-3 here in the bottom of the sixth.
That might have been the quickest we ever heard Scott Fransky decide it was a home run. I know that ball was out like a half a second, but the ball went off the bat, and you hear Scott say, game tied! Like, we all knew it right away. What a shot it was. What a game. 215-592-9494 for our midday show here as we react to yesterday and the whole weekend. 1-1 series. Do you feel good about this series? We head back to New York for game three tomorrow. But here, there was a lot to unpack from the game yesterday, including some moments that went viral because of things that were said. So, Hugh, we did the Big Hugh Breakdown here on Mondays. Usually, yeah, I think we have the good music going. Usually it's the breakdown why Bryce Huff has not sniffed a quarterback, but today, he really hasn't. But today, it's about what happened yesterday. So we got two moments for you, Hugh. We need you to put your lip-reading glasses on and tell us what you saw. First, fourth inning. Nick Castellanos at the plate. He has a couple really bad swings, and then later in the at-bat, he lays off of one. He gets a little bit of a Bronx cheer, like almost a sarcastic, good job, Nick. And he seems to mouth something at the plate there. Hugh, what did you see when you watched Nick Castellanos react?
Oh, you want to do that one first?
Yeah, okay, let's do that. Let's go in chronological order.
Okay. The Nick Castellanos one,
yeah,
that was a little bit easier to see.
Yeah, what did he say? And watch yourself.
Yeah, don't slip up again.
Give us the edited version of what you think Nick said to everyone yesterday.
He said, these foo-fanging people.
Yeah, that's what I thought I saw too.
He said, foo-fanging. These foo-fanging people. So my question is this. Who is these people?
The 45,000 in the seats is who he's talking about.
You know what he was a little upset yesterday.
You know what the crazy part about how our emotions can swing and the results change everything?
Yes.
If the Phillies lose and Castellanos goes 0 for 4 with 3 strikeouts.
Oh, that's the story.
And he said that.
Oh, that's the story. Oh, they're trying to get him out of town. He gone.
Yesterday was it was teetering on the disaster for him and his relationship with the fans. And then it turns into, we love you, Nick!
That's what I'm saying. It's the craziest place to be. It's the craziest space to be in. It's because he is one of those polarizing figures that if that game doesn't go the way that it went, then he's the first person we want cut. Want him out of here. He's disrespectful. We need to bench him and all this other stuff. But then he turns into the game goat.
I actually think both sides were totally in the right yesterday. I wasn't mad that he said that. Now, if he had struck out three more times, I would have been more upset at him. But, like, He deserved those boos yesterday. He had swung at pitches 2 feet outside for two games.
Oh, no. No doubt.
And then, but he locked back in. Sometimes the boo works, Shu. That was a boo that worked. It
so
got
they motivated him.
Well, let's hear Castellanos after the game, what he was thinking as it all unfolded.
He seemed relatively displeased, like after you took the pitch. There was an OT pitch in the dirt. The crowd kind of gave you a sarcastic cheer. What was kind of going through your head in that moment?
I had a lot of thoughts run through my head.
What was your reaction to the Bronx cheer, kind of the booing from the fans earlier? And then what adjustment did you make in the game to have better bats?
I don't know. I was just kind of frustrated, so I guess I locked in more.
He was frustrated, so he locked in more.
That's right. Boos work, Hugh.
So he need to apologize to us.
No.
Yes, he does.
Well, how could he apologize?
Because
he did apologize.
He
did. Three
no,
hits.
No, he needs to apologize because it took us to get him to lock in so that he could hit better.
So yeah. We're taking credit for bullying him.
Yes.
Into hitting.
But he
yes.
apologized with a home run and two singles.
That was not an apology.
Yes, it was.
That was him doing his job.
No.
That was him doing his job.
What would make you feel better as a fan? Him, after post-game, saying, I apologize, or him doing what he did? We'd all be like, no, how about you do it?
Him saying and he apologize.
No,
the only person
why do you need to be talked bad to lock in and do your job, though? That's what I don't understand.
Some people need the fire. Some people need the clapping, like Trey Turner.
Wait a second.
Is it the paycheck that you receive whenever you get paid enough to let you know that's what you're supposed to be doing?
Now, I recall,
shouldn't have to boo somebody to make them do their job.
There's a certain former defensive end on WIP. I think he had 80 sacks, though we've taken some away, that said he used to get cussed out by his coaches all the time.
All the time.
Well,
does she do anything for
us? I mean,
it's not the same thing.
Sure it is.
It's not.
Sure it is.
It used to, like, I got cussed out for doing renegade stuff.
Well, and what's swinging at a pitch 2 feet outside? That's renegade stuff.
But you talked about not doing that all week long.
Sure, I think it's a little harder in the moment not to do it,
yeah,
obviously.
It is, but still.
All right, how about
I
the other?
Apologize.
Well, you should. The other viral moment, Hugh, was Brandon Nimmo hits the home run in the seventh to put the Mets back ahead. And then he's coming around the bases, and he seems to say something. By the way, Nimmo is, and Kyle was on this last week, this guy's just annoying. You know, my 7-year-old daughter, we were at the game on Saturday. And he walked on Saturday. One of the, she said, "Why did he run to first base?
He sprints.
It's a walk.
I can't stand it."
And I didn't know what to say to her. I didn't want to be like, "Well, he's just a big old nerd." I didn't want to do that. But I was like, "I don't know. He runs all the time." She's like, "I don't get it. You just walk to first base on a walk." He's annoying. He's a good player, though. Could you pick anything up from the Nimmo exchange from Real Muto?
I think he said something about Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. That's it. He was doing a prayer. It looked like he was doing a prayer.
Some people thought it was about Sanchez. Maybe you shouldn't take Sanchez out.
So JT said after the game that he thought he might have said something about Sanchez, but he couldn't hear him because it was too loud.
Yeah. Just shut up.
Maybe that's
Nimmo.
What it was.
So
but
he was jawing at the bullpen and then JT. So JT must have said something, or not the bullpen, the dugout.
Yeah.
And then JT must have said something in reaction to that, and then he turned to JT. I mean, just shut up.
Yeah,
and then he pointed into the air. Pointed in the air, so I thought he was talking about Jesus Christ. I don't know.
Maybe, but it seemed like it was more combative, right? Like, there's nothing combative about saying, like, I don't know, something about Jesus or
they were
God.
Feeling themselves.
It didn't look malicious. I guess that's the point I'm making.
He was
malicious
talking, talking a little trash.
Yeah. He was smiling.
Yeah, he looked like he was sort of rubbing it in our faces. Like, you're not going to beat us.
Somebody yeah, something
said,
like that. And
I'm
then
looking
they did.
At the comments. Somebody said, need him in Cancun by Thursday.
I like that one. All right, 215-592-9494.
It's a terrible job by reading lips by you.
No, the first one I got.
We needed more.
I got the first one.
Somebody told you.
No, because somebody did tell me. Because I was like, I can't read what he said. And then when you actually hear, like, when somebody tells you what it is and you see the lips, he's like, oh, yeah.
Yeah. I'm always like
that,
too. I can't tell myself, but as soon as someone says it, I can see it.
You can go back and see it, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you could see the body language of Castellanos. He was annoyed.
Well, he did it. It was kind of cool the way he did it because it was like a non-emotional, you know, these foo-fanging people.
Yeah.
It wasn't like, it was like, you know how some people, like, these foo-fanging people, like, and they, you can see the emphasis.
Like when you people us?
Foo-fanging. Yeah, when he says foo-fang.
You know, there's more.
It's not, it wasn't an emphasis on the foo-fang.
You and Castellanos have a lot of similarities.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, just the way you guys, where your minds work, the way you kind of get frustrated.
I'm trying to tell you, why do you think I understand Coach Sirianni so well? Stream of conscious. I'm trying to tell y'all, like, long talking, need to stay away from it.
There you go.
I'm trying to tell you.
By the way, did you see the people ripping Sirianni for being there on Saturday?
No, I saw that. And they were talking about,
he ruined
take the points.
He ruined two offenses at one time.
Take the points.
It was good.
People are ruthless.
Let's go to Big V. Big V and Mount Laurel. What's up, Big V?
Hey, Joe. Listen, Joe, you know you and I agree like 20% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And you and I agree like 80% of the time.
What kind of day is today?
It don't feel like it's my day.
It's not your day, Hugh. Hugh, I need you to put your big boy pants on and go ahead. Like a lot of people are
not
going to
do it.
You owe him an apology. You owe it, baby.
Not going to do it.
You know I love you.
Why I got to apologize for him for doing his job?
No, yesterday was above and beyond. Three hits, including a home run?
It took the fans getting on him for him to lock in and do his job. He said it himself. That's not apologize worthy.
All I know is this. You sat around in June as the rest of us buried Castellanos, okay? You sat there idle. Since June, he's been one of their best players.
Complicit.
He's now a cleanup hitter on a team, 10 wins from a championship. Hugh, I've apologized, and I have a good relationship with Castellanos now. Now you need to do it, Hugh.
Nah, I got a relationship with him.
Not a good one.
He all right with me.
Mm-hmm. I don't know about that. Go ahead.
Not only did Hugh bury him, he was a pallbearer.
Hold up.
I mean, come on.
Big V, you're right about this. You're totally right.
Wait a minute.
You buried the guy.
I didn't bury him.
You buried him.
I didn't say anything about him.
You buried him.
I just didn't defend him.
That's guilt by association.
No,
and now's your chance to
apologize.
Every day
that I'm coming to this job.
You were the first one to get your shovel and throw the dirt in the ground.
See, now I like how we embellish and change the story. That was somebody to my left.
And what did I do? I atoned. I apologized.
And I don't have to apologize. I just, if anything, I was complicit.
I can't wait till the parade, when we're doing the show from the parade, and you have to apologize then. I mean, you have
to. I'm not going to do it.
You know what's going to happen, right? Castellanos is going to walk it off to win the World Series. That's where this is headed.
And I hope he does.
And you will then apologize.
Congratulations for doing your job.
That's above his job.
That is not above his job.
Big V, good phone call. Sure it is.
No, it's not. That's what he gets paid to do.
No.
How much does he? How many times have we complained about the money that he makes in the production that he gives?
When you sign a player, you hope for...
He's been clutch so far.
He has 10 walk-offs this year, doesn't he? Like, he has 5 or 6 that are 10. When you sign a player and you hope for the expectation of their career, right? Like, them to play like they're supposed to play. You don't expect all these clutch moments. You hope for those. He's delivered a lot this year, Hugh.
Rojas has delivered some clutch moments, too. You know, we apologize to him.
What clutch moments is Rojas?
Yeah, dude, what are you talking about?
And defensively.
He's been actually fine the first two games.
Yeah,
he's been on base once. He's signed. But I will say this about Rojas. He's towing the line.
I've been crushing Rojas forever.
He's towing the line getting picked off, Rojas. Can we just be careful out there? It's two straight games.
That dude is a really good move.
Oh,
the first base, yeah.
The lefty?
It's a great move.
I know. He almost had him twice on Saturday.
Me, the cameraman, like Rojas?
Yeah, I mean,
tough.
Rojas was going the wrong way and had to dive back. You're right about that. 215-592-9494. Let's go to Bam in Upper Darby. What's up, Bam?
Bam.
Bam? Bam going once, Bam going twice.
It's like every time.
Bam said on the screen there he had a bad experience with a Mets fan. Hopefully he's in a good place right now. Violet in Virginia. What's up, Violet?
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good. Hey,
what's
you
up,
doing?
Violet? We're good. How you doing?
Oh, my God. I am worn out. That game actually just blew me away, first of all. I'm kind of new to baseball. Just been watching the last few years. Absolutely love the sport because now I've actually paid attention to what goes on. And, oh, my God, I'm emotionally drained. I feel really good. I do agree with a lot of the callers. I think tomorrow is a must, not a must win, but it sure would be nice if we get that win. And I'm just loving what I'm seeing out of, I mean, I'm a little nervous with the bullpen, but I think last night's win or yesterday afternoon, however, I just think that's going to pull them up. I really do.
No, I think it's a must win tomorrow.
Just a huge, huge game.
No, I got you, but I think tomorrow's a must-win.
Yeah,
I think you have the momentum.
I agree.
You got to take advantage.
Yeah,
you got some must-win.
Well, you think about it. So, you know, we're happy today because we split it because we lost the first game. The Mets also were happy today. I mean, they probably wish they were up 2-0.
Because you got one here.
Yeah, they did the job, right, Violet? They came here and got the split. So that's why
tomorrow
is so big, because if the Phillies win, then we're back in the power of the series.
Exactly.
If the Mets win, they're at home in game 4 with a chance to end our season. So we can't give them that chance.
Let's not think like that.
Yep.
Let's go in, strike while we're hot, you know, just quiet them down.
Yes, and we could also, we know this. Game four, Hugh, we have Ranger on the mound. Ranger's been very shaky for a couple months. Like,
yeah, we got to get it done with Nolan. Yeah.
And this is,
yeah,
they planned it.
Been right since that injury.
No, he
hasn't. I mean, what's going on?
Since that family came.
Well, there's a lot. And you, Violet, you're right. They planned this. I mean, the Phillies have Nola ready for tomorrow. They wanted him
on
the mound.
That's why they did it. That's why they did it the way they did it.
I love it. I love it. I'm ready.
Violet,
let's do it.
Good phone call. We appreciate it. Let's talk again. She said she just got into baseball recently, the last couple years. Boy, the roller coaster of October. There's I just don't think there's anything in sports like yesterday.
Nah.
Like, there's great football games in the playoffs. Obviously, the Eagles have played some very dramatic football games in the playoffs. Great basketball. Any sport in the playoffs is a super, super intense thing. But yesterday, the back and forth of that game, it's one of the greatest playoff games in Philly's history yesterday.
Yeah. I think, you know, there are probably some people out there that still have some anxiety. And kind of probably teetering a little bit. I think we'd have felt a lot better if it would have went the other way. If we'd have still been 1-1, but if Wheeler would have got that game because of the way he was pitching.
Well, that would have made more sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. The series, I mean, this weekend didn't make much sense, right?
No.
They lost the game where their starter went 7 innings of shutout baseball, and they won the game where they were down 3-0 in the sixth
inning.
And
it ain't too many games where Schwarber hits a homer the way that he did that we lose like that.
So it was rare.
It was one of those times where it was just like, really? It was tough.
When they don't lose? When Bryce Harper hits a home run in the postseason. I think I saw this morning, since he got here, he has 12 home runs in the postseason.
Mm-hmm.
They've won every single game that Bryce Harper's hit a home run. Like, there's something about when he hits a home run, it's usually a big one, and it just energized the team. Can we hear the Harper home run again yesterday? Because the team looked dead, right? It's dead. They hadn't scored much in a game and a half. It's 3-0 Mets. Turner gets on with the single. And Severino at that point still was dealing in the sixth inning. Here's the Harper home run to ignite everything at Citizens Bank Park.
Severino's ready, and the pitch. Harper swings, drives it high and deep center field. Bader going back to the track, looking up, and it's gone off the batter's eye. Two-run home run for Bryce Harper. Straightaway center field. And there's life back in the joint. As the Phillies trail by a run, it's 3-2.
I thought it was perfectly said, Hugh, by Scott on that call. There's life
back in the joint.
Because it was lifeless. I'm sitting there yesterday at home, and I'm saying to myself, do they have any guts? Like, are they going to roll over here and get shut out or score one run and just meekly go back to New York down 0-2? It felt that way. It felt like it was a gut check moment for the entire season.
It definitely felt
and the
like
whole
that.
Group. Like, you can't go down 0-2 at home.
Yeah. And it felt like if that was the case, coming to work today would have just been, it would have been rough.
It would have been a funeral.
Rough day. Yeah. It would have been a postmortem, and we'd have been killing Castellanos, and everybody would have been talking about how they don't want him here when the season's over, but y'all want me to sit up here and apologize.
You should apologize, yes.
For doing his job. That's ridiculous.
I think you have to say he's gone above and beyond his job the last few months.
He did his job.
No. 3 hits, including a home run in a playoff game. That's his job? He's that you expect that out of Bryce,
you
not
what?
Castellanos.
I'm ashamed of everybody that's listening to this show,
what
too,
do you mean?
Because he hit us with the U people, and nobody got offended by
it. And where'd he learn that from? Hugh Douglas.
He didn't learn it from me.
You do it every day to us. You people, us by 10:30 some
saying,
mornings.
Y'all let him, you people, you. And then you cheered for him the next day. Y'all ought to be ashamed of yourself. Y'all owe me an apology.
No, I think that's just, you know what that is? That's tough love back and forth. That's all
that's
that is.
That's what it is. That's how we're going to spin it.
That's what it is.
That's fine.
You look like crap at the plate. We're going to let you know about it. You get hits, we're going to love you. I mean, it's as simple as that.
He was out there jawing people, too.
Well, didn't he deserve it the way he swung the first two games?
Yeah, he did.
He looked lost at the plate. I mean, then he figured it out, which is all that matters. You're Larry in Philadelphia. What's up, Larry?
Hey, fellas. Nicky Castellanos done it again.
How about Nick, Larry? What a day.
Oh, my God. He's done it again. Oh, man. That guy right there, he's something special for the team. You know, Hugh, man, I think you should, you know, issue a public apology.
Maybe you should write it out.
What am I apologizing for?
Signature at the end.
What am I apologizing for?
You took the excavator, you dug the hole,
I dug the hole.
Yeah, you did. You did.
Wow, this thing is evolving.
You over the dirt, you flattened it.
Wow.
Larry remembers it well. I mean, Larry remembers that show
when I did all that.
Buried Castellanos.
You mean by sitting here, I buried him. Okay.
You killed the man. And, you know, and now that he's one of the top five hitters on the team, you know, doing the things that he needs to do for us to win, to lock in, you know, you just gotta admit when you're wrong and you gotta apologize. You gotta man up. Put your big boy pants on and man up.
Put my big boy pants on and man up.
Larry, it's not that hard. I do it once a week. I'm an idiot. I was wrong about this. We all move on. It's not that hard. Just say, Nick, I'm sorry. I was wrong. See how easy it is, Hugh? I'm sorry I was wrong. Larry, but I'm telling you, by the parade, when Castellanos helps them win the World Series, Hugh's going to have no choice but to apologize.
And I think that last game of the World Series at home, he's going to have a hell of a game. I got him going for two home runs. He's going to be two home runs, a single and a double. And a two-run home run and a single, and he's going to do his thing.
I wouldn't be surprised, Larry, man. Good phone call. Yeah, I mean, Castellanos is at the point now where I trust him in these big moments. Even though he might have an at-bat earlier in the game where he looks like absolute garbage, for some reason, Kyle, you feel like in the biggest moment, Castellanos is just going to lock in and get a hit.
That's why I said he was the biggest X factor going into this series, because we saw the way that they pitched up to Bryce. They were barely giving him anything to hit.
Yep.
I mean, how Bryce gets when that's happening is he sort of feels the need to press like he did in the
Saturday.
NLCS.
Yeah,
and he did it Saturday. So that's why, like, the more that Nick Castellanos gets on base or makes them pay for, like, pitching around Bryce, the less they're going to pitch around Bryce. And we know how dangerous Bryce Harper is. So it just makes everything easier for the rest of the lineup when Castellanos is not letting them get away with putting Bryce on base.
Well, and now if they stop doing that, that means more good pitches for Bryce to hit. I mean, that could change the series even more. Because if Bryce gets pitches to hit, we know what he does. He does major damage in October. Let's talk to Jay in West Philly. What's up, Jay?
What's going on, Gilio?
Jay, what's up, pal?
Hey, don't apologize to Nick. Stay where you at. We don't need your energy over here with him. The best hitter on the team. We don't need that.
Yes,
that's done. I apologized months ago, Jay. That's over.
Oh, see, there you go. You and your as soon as you bandwagon with somebody, everything goes down from there.
No, he just had the big day yesterday after my apology, so that's not true.
Look, he won the game yesterday. That other dude didn't.
Who's the other dude?
That fraud at first base.
Bryce Harper. The guy who hit the two-run home run to ignite the rally.
He kind of got the party started.
He didn't win the game. Mm. He tied it up.
The guy that has the third highest OPS in the history of the playoffs, that guy?
And no rings yet.
Oh. So, Jay, you decided to watch that game yesterday and call in today to rip Bryce Harper?
Basically.
Because you was being sarcastic with your praise of Castellanos.
I'm not being sarcastic. I've praised him for months. He's been one of their best hitters for months.
As soon as he go 0-2 in the next game, Castellanos won the game yesterday. And he don't care about no booze, no doubt, whatever. He's said, y'all boo him?
Well, obviously he cared a little bit. I mean, you saw his reaction. Okay.
Look, he said what he said. He said the same thing everybody else said. Philadelphia fans get emotional.
Yeah, I think the apology is you need to apologize to Harper because you.
I ain't apologizing.
Well, I mean, you look ridiculous, Jay. You look ridiculous.
Hey, yo, what's up with your other buddy, too?
Who's that?
What's up with your boy, Purdy?
Brock, who cares about Brock Purdy today, Jay? The Phillies just won a playoff game.
I'm answering the question.
Well, I don't care.
I mean, come on.
Today, I don't care. Who cares? Brock Purdy didn't play well yesterday, and he lost. That doesn't excuse Jalen Hurts.
That was a miserable phone call.
It was terrible. I mean, terrible. To watch that game yesterday and to come in here saying anything about Bryce other than he was a major part of the victory, you're clueless.
Yeah, that's kind of wild.
I mean, this is what happens when you don't apologize to Castellanos.
That ain't got nothing to do with me.
Oh, yeah, it does.
That ain't got nothing to do with that.
People are following your lead.
No, they're not.
Yeah, it's everybody needs to get over the optics of being wrong.
This is like the sweatshirt at the park thing from Friday.
And I chose right. I wore a T-shirt, and it worked out for me fine. Mm-hmm. And then we saw a couple guys. You know what's funny, though?
What's that?
We saw a couple guys at the game that had sweaters around their waist and around their neck.
Good for them.
It was a horrible look.
Who cares?
It was a horrible look.
I'm just personally so glad that Hugh's manhood is intact. this
weekend. It was a horrible look. It was a horrible look.
But they probably were comfortable, and then they put their sweatshirt on in the seventh inning when it got cold, and they were happy.
No, you can't do that. But
well,
I mean, it was one of those things that, you know, I mean, they made a choice, and they got ridiculed for it. But
no one ridiculed them. No one cared. People trying to watch. People are locked into a baseball game.
It was a beautiful night.
It was awesome.
Awesome night.
Well, it's a great weekend. The weather was great here. 215-592-9494. How do you feel? Do you feel good as this series is 1-1 going back to Citi Field? We'll get to all your phone calls coming up. 215-592-9494. A lot to get to. Will Hugh apologize to Castellanos? I mean, at some point here, it's inevitable he's going to have to. We'll talk to Howard at 12. All your phone calls coming up. More on the Alec Bohm situation, which I thought was clearly the right decision by Rob Thompson, and more on the bullpen as well. It is the Midday Show, celebrating, reacting to a win and a wild series so far.
Man, punch for punch. I said it to the guys. I said Rocky would be proud. You know, never die mentality, man. Just a great game. Thought Sevy threw the ball really well, obviously. But, you know, to kind of get a couple runs on and just keep that going. Vientos won the battle.
And the pitch. Harper swings, drives it high and deep center field. Bader going back to the track, looking up, and it's gone off the batter's eye. Two-run home run for Bryce Harper. Straightaway center field. And there's life back in the joint as the Phillies trail by a run 3-2.
Punch for punch, Hugh Douglas. Rocky would be proud. I need it on a t-shirt by the end of the week. Rocky would be proud with Bryce hitting the home run yesterday.
Oh, man, can I get some extra cheese on my ham sandwich? That was so...
You know what? Some days are appropriate for
ham sandwich. Leave him alone.
No, that was...
Third highest OPS in postseason history. Let him go, Hugh.
And now we're going to just... Oh, that was so great.
It was awesome.
Dude, that was so corny.
It was so great. hold on. They did
it
set...
It was a little corny,
they
though.
They set him up, though. A lot of the broadcasts were talking about punch for punch, heavyweight fight.
When you, and so he's like, Rocky would be perfect. Well, come on, man.
When you say that in Philadelphia, what do you expect Bryce Harper to say?
No, come on, man.
Rocky, I mean, wouldn't, you don't think Rocky Balboa would be proud of watching that?
The panderer-in-chief was in full effect.
You are such a wet blanket.
It's unbelievable.
I have been a fan of everything that Bryce Harper has done thus far. That was a little bit too much. That was just a little bit.
I thought the moment called for it, Hugh.
That was a little bit too much, man.
I thought it called for it.
It was too much. It was just too much. I know people love it, but it's just it was a little too much. That's all that matters. Yeah, that's
it. People like it.
Yeah, it was a little too much.
So leave him alone.
Okay, fine.
Did you see that home run? Did you see that home run?
But that was a little bit too much.
No, I'm good with it. I'm good with it. If it was if it was July, I'd say, you know, like, we don't need this. Yeah. It's October. And you know Rocky loved watching that game. Come on, Hugh. You know it. Let's talk to Tyler in the South. What's up, Tyler? Tyler!
Hey, what's going on, guys? How are you?
Tyler. Hey, buddy. What's up?
Hey, I was at the game last night. Absolute electric atmosphere up in those pleats. Everything was incredible. Start to finish, like you guys said, kind of going back and forth like the Rocky fights in the movies. Just unbelievable. Unbelievable. I wanted to talk to you guys about the bullpen situation, everything going on. Like, who's Topper going to be trusting most in Game 3? Is he going back to Strom, Hoffman? Is he going to go with Estevez? What are your thoughts on that?
So, I think Estevez obviously was the best one so far, so I think he's earned more trust. But, Tyler, I think he's going back to Strom and Hoffman. I mean, they've been his best guys the entire season, and I know it's not been great the first two games. I would go back to them. I'm not ready to throw the towel in or change it up. Now, am I a little concerned? Yeah, because, you know, it's a short series, and if they have one more bad game, that could lose the whole thing. But if you're telling me right now it's you know, 3-3 game, eighth inning tomorrow night, I'm going back to Strom and Hoffman. I mean, those are my two guys. They have got the Phillies here. They were tremendous all season. I'll give them the ball again.
No, it makes sense. I get that. I get, you know, I just, Estevez had, I think, a clean sheet yesterday, right, in the eighth.
Yes.
1-2-3. Everyone else kind of, you know, they have been getting hit pretty hard all weekend, so not too ideal there. And then I was kind of curious about, why do you think the Mets went with Diaz in the seventh there? It's just obviously, you know, the closer going into the seventh with two outs seemed kind of suspect on their part. Just wanted to get your thoughts on that as well.
So I think it was a matchup thing. Tyler, we appreciate it. That was a Schwarber thing. Diaz is own Schwarber, and he got him to end the seventh.
Mm.
The only thing was it felt like they were an inning away from finishing it, right? Like, they didn't have an answer for the ninth inning. Diaz was their best option to get Schwarber. I get it. They brought him back for the eighth. But I'm watching it play out. I'm like, he's not going to be able to go through the ninth. There's no way he's pitching seven outs to finish this game. So I had a feeling it was going to go bad for him at some point, and luckily it did.
Yeah, by the way, Przinski the whole time, he's like, I'm going to get him a seven-out save. I'm like, there's no world in which that happens.
But he's not talking about. Przinski's brutal.
He was so bad.
I'm so glad I only had to listen to one of those games. Do we have these clowns the entire series? I think we do, right?
I think so, yeah.
Oh. Well, when we get to the LCS, we'll have Joe
Davis. But
yeah,
if it's against the Dodgers...
Oh, well, Homer Davis?
Might get pro-Dodger Davis.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'll take that over, what the heck this is. Yeah. Let's talk to Scott and Ridley. What's up, Scott?
Scott.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good, Scott. What's up?
Just kind of relaxing right now after that game last night. I'm probably going to get ready for a nap because it was a long night. Fun night, though. Joe, I'm going to get right to it. I got to disagree with you on the Bohm situation. There's a myriad of players on that team that have struggled, just like Bohm. You know, I'll go down the list. Turner, Marsh, JT Realmuto. There's just, you could go on and on and on. And I think he was made as a sacrificial lamb. And, you know, he's been a pretty good player for us this year. And all of a sudden, you're going to bench him in the playoffs? I mean, if it has anything to do with him throwing helmets or anything like that, that should have been done earlier in the season. And just to top that off, too, Joe, I'm not a big Edmundo Sosa fan either. I think he's a hack at third base. I don't think he plays a good third base. He's pretty good at shortstop. But, I mean, you saw him yesterday. He threw the ball away yesterday when he fielded the ball. I think it was a huge mistake. I think it should have been left alone. If you wanted to send a message, bat him 7 or 8. Send him down the lineup a little bit. There was no reason to take Bohm out there. I think it was a horrible decision.
So I agree with you that it was a sacrificial lamb. I mean, that's it. I mean, you're right. I think he made an example of him. And Scott, okay, you have a fair point that maybe he should have nipped the idea of him throwing tantrums in the bud earlier, like not just wait till the playoffs. But Scott, that stuff bothers me. It feels like when the pressure is on, Bohm looks like he's about to be in tears half the time, and like I can't have that in a big spot. So I am okay with it now. I think Sosa's better at third than you do, and my thing on Bohm is this, Scott. If he's not hitting, if he's in a slump, he brings nothing else, right? He's not a very good defender at third. He can't run. Like, Turner runs. Marsh plays defense. JT's the catcher. Like, when they're struggling offensively, at least they bring something else. If Bohm's not hitting, why is he playing?
But hasn't Bohm improved his defense? I mean,
it's improved from bottom of the league to okay. Like, I never feel like he's anything special over there.
Well, and then, you know, you look at Sosa. I mean, look at his play the first time around. That was a horrible throw. And then he's a chaser, too. I mean, the ball's outside his hand. He's throwing his bat. Just like, I don't think he's an upgrade at all at third base. Again, my feeling is, bad move, sacrificial lamb. Leave the guy alone. Send him down the lineup. He's our RBI leader. I just think it was a horrible decision, and that's my opinion. I'm pretty upset about that.
Yeah, but you can have a bad decision and still win.
No, I mean, but I think that when you talk about the move that needed to be made, you had to sit somebody down because to his point, nobody at the bottom of that order was doing a whole lot, and he was the guy. He was the guy that was giving you the least.
Well, I guess we all going to – I guess we agree to agree or disagree to agree or whatever. Yeah. But I just that's my feeling on the whole thing. I think Bohm's been a pretty good player for the Phillies. He's come a long ways. You know, he is struggling with the bat, but there's a lot of other players on that team struggling with the bat too. And, you know, again, with the helmet thing, should have sat him earlier. This is a playoff time. You put your best players out there. And Edmundo Sosa is not one of the better players on the team.
Scott, we appreciate the call. Here's the thing, and we'll continue to debate this. I don't think this is the last time we're having this conversation. I wonder what Bohm's future is in this series and obviously going through the rest of the playoffs. 215-592-9494. The King of Dopes, Howard Eskin, joins us. His thoughts on yesterday, this weekend, and the rest of the series, and your calls as well. 215-592-9494. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Y'all know how much I love Hatfield Bacon for breakfast. But to be honest, I can eat bacon all day long. And now Hatfield has made it easier to enjoy a delicious breakfast with their new breakfast line. You got breakfast ham slices, pork roll, juicy breakfast sausage links, and Canadian bacon. And soon in your grocery store's frozen section, Hatfield's frozen sausage patties and links. Perfect for those busy mornings. Head to simplyhatfield.com to find a retailer near you. Find your flavor with Hatfield.